Chapter 2, Section 4, Step 3 Map. As I quickly discovered, value chains on their own are reasonably useless for understanding strategic play in an environment. This is because they lack any form of context on how it is changing, i.e. they lack movement. If you think back to the example of Nokia, then its value chains have radically altered over time from a paper mill to telecommunications company. In order to understand the environment, we therefore need to capture this aspect of change and combine it with our value chain. The largest problem with creating an understanding of the context in which something operates is that this process of change and how things evolve cannot be measured over time. As uncomfortable as it is, you have to simply accept that you don't have a crystal ball and hence you have to embrace the uncertainty of future change. Fortunately, there's a neat trick because whilst evolution cannot be measured over time, the different stages of evolution can be described. So, this is exactly what you need to do. Take your value chain and turn it into a map with an evolution axis. On the wall or in whatever tool you've used to create your value chain, now add a horizontal line for evolution. Mark on sections for genesis, custom built, product and commodity as shown in figure 16. See figure 16, adding evolution to your value chain. For more details. Unless you're extremely lucky, then all the components are likely to be in the wrong stages of evolution. Hence start to move the components of the value chain to their relevant stage. For each component the group should question how evolved it is. In practice the best way to do this is to examine its characteristics and ask, how ubiquitous and well-defined is the component? Do all my competitors use such a component? Is the component available as a product or a utility service? Is this something new? Be warned, this step is often the main cause of arguments in the group. You will regularly come across components that parts of the group feel passionate about. They will declare it as unique despite the fact that all your competitors will have this. There is also the danger that you will describe the component by how you treat it rather than how it should be treated. Even today, in 2016, there are companies that custom build their own CRM, customer relationship management, system despite its near ubiquity and essential use in most industries. There are many causes for this, some of which are due to inertia and the component being a pet project, and in other cases it is because the component is actually multiple subcomponents. In the latter case, you'll often find that most of the subcomponents are commodity with maybe one or two that are genuinely novel. Break it down into these subcomponents. It is essential for you to challenge the assumptions, and that is part of what mapping is all about, exposing the assumptions we make and providing a means to challenge. This is also why working in a group matters, because it's far too easy for an individual to apply their own biases to a map. If we think of mapping a tea shop, then we might argue that our lemon drizzle cake is homemade and therefore custom built. But in reality, is the provision of a cake in a tea shop something that is rare and hence relatively novel? Or is the reality that a user expects a tea shop to provide cake and it is commonplace? You might market the cake as homemade, but don't confuse what you market something as with what it is. The tea shop up the road could just as easily buy mass-produced cake, add some finishing flourishes to it and describe it as homemade. If it's cheaper, just as tasty, more consistent and to the user an expected norm for a tea shop, then you'll be at a disadvantage. The same is true of building your own Thomas Thwaites toaster rather than buying a commodity version to provide toast. To help you in the process of challenge, I've added a cheat sheet in figure 17 for the characteristics of activities. How this was created will be discussed in later chapters, but for now simply use this as a guide. Where arguments continue to rage, then look to see if the component is in fact multiple subcomponents. See figure 17, the cheat sheet. For more details. Don't worry if some of the terms are confusing in the cheat sheet, just use what you can. Like chess, mapping is a craft and you will get better with practice. Today, topographical intelligence in business is more about Babylonian clay tablet than ordnance survey maps for industries. The art is very much in the custom-built stage of evolution, see the cheat sheet above. You should aim to complete an entire map of a line of business in a matter of hours, though there is nothing wrong with spending longer in your first attempts in order to get used to the process. I'm afraid there is a big downside here. Mapping, like learning to play chess, is something that only you and your team can do. You will have to follow the path that I took when I was a CEO and learn to map. You can't outsource mapping to someone else any more than you can outsource learning to play chess to a consultancy. Well, technically you can, but you won't be learning and you'll just become dependent upon them, constantly asking for your next move. Which, to be honest, is what many of us have done, but then if you're happy with that, stop reading this book and just ask a consultancy for your strategy. If you're not happy with that, then be warned that the amount of value that you will get from mapping increases with the amount of work you put into repeatedly using it. It's also worth noting that when adding practices, data and knowledge to your map, then you can use the same cheat sheet for each stage of evolution, i.e. data that is modeled, see figure 10, should be widespread, commonly understood, essential and believed to be well defined. It shares the same characteristics as commodity activities. Once you have placed the components in their relevant stage to the best of your ability, you now have a map, as per figure 18. Remember that this map was for an online photo service in 2005, and so the composition of components and their position will not be the same as they are today. We expect an awful lot more from an online photo service in 2016. The map is hence fluid and constantly evolving. See figure 18, the map, for more details. The next thing to do is to share your map with others in your organization and allow them to challenge you and ideally your group. This is exactly what I did with my colleague James Duncan, who was CIO of the company at the time. With help from James, I refined both the map and the concept, something which I owe him a great deal of thanks for. If there is a co-inventor of mapping, then it would be James. Our robust debates in the boardroom showed me that business and IT are not separate, but we could discuss strategic gameplay together around a map. It's a bit like the Army and the Air Force. They might have different capabilities and strengths, but if we use a map to communicate, then we can make all of this work together. I have found subsequently, this process of sharing not only refines the map but spreads ownership of it. You should also use this time to consider any unmet needs, any missing components, and ask questions on whether you're treating things in the right way. It's often surprising to find how many companies are spending vast resources on building their own metaphorical Thomas White's toasters when a commodity version is readily available.